hymnal, remaining seated. The assurance of our pardon resides in Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, that we might be saved and enter into new life. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Amen. We are here this morning in God's presence, and at this time in our service, we take a few moments to lift up prayers from our hearts and from our lives for ourselves and for those we care about. I'm wondering, what's on your heart today? What prayers would you like to lift? Jenny.
A good friend of my father's, Ed Dallaire, passed away this week. He was a Presbyterian minister for a long time in Pittsburgh Presbytery, but also was Presbyterian camp director. So he shared the joy and passion with my dad and with our family of Presbyterian camping. So just prayers for his family. He was most recently the director at Ghost Ranch in New Mexico. He was in his late 50s and has four kids. So just prayers for the Dallaire family.
Thanks, Jenny. Prayers for the Dallaire family, for Ed at his passing, and all those who loved him. Other prayers, CJ.
Prayers of thanks for the support of my friends and my church family at the time that my older daughter's husband of 10 years died of a brain hemorrhage last Friday.
Thanks, CJ. We continue in prayer for you and your family.
I have two prayers today, one for Jessica, who has been confined to bed rest in the hospital because of preeclampsia at 25 weeks, and then another for one of our dearest and closest friends who's waiting for news about Hodgkin's, and he'll get that on Tuesday.
For Jessica, who's on bed rest, and also for another friend waiting for news. Let me see. Julie B.
I'd like a continued prayer for my brother Jim down in Pennsylvania, who is undergoing heart surgery, open heart surgery this week. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Traveling mercies to you as you go down to be with Jim. We're praying for him. Chen.
Pray for my advisor, Professor Kobrian Khan. She will be operated on her feet this Tuesday. And it's a small operation, but after all, it's the operation. So I pray that everything is good for her and her operation will be successful. And I pray she will be getting well soon. Corporian Khan. Professor Corporian Khan. K-A-H-N.
Oh, thank you. Perfect. Thanks, Jen. Sorry, this thing doesn't help me here. Praying for Professor Khan in this surgery and recovery. Other prayers. Nalone.
Prayers for a co-worker of mine. She fell at work, and little did we know, she broke her hip and had to have surgery, so she's going to be out for a while. Just prayers for her and her family.
For Nalone's co-worker. Thanks. Judy.
I'm going to be traveling to Albany Friday, back on Saturday for the Synod Council meeting, so I ask your prayers that we make good decisions.
Prayers for the Synod and its work, and Judy as she goes. I saw Peter.
Prayers for my son's best friend, Alexander. He's 8 years old, and he's had a stomach flu bug since last Monday, and he is a little bit better, but he's not out of the woods yet, so. Prayers for Alexander, please.
For Alexander and this flu bug. The prayers today. Brooke.
I'd like to ask prayers for my Aunt Mary, who's been sent home with hospice care with a heart condition and for her kids.
Prayers for Aunt Mary today on hospice. The prayers. Gladys.
I'd like to ask continuous prayers for Andrew as he continues his studies in France.
Thanks for Andrew. Suzanne.
Continued prayers for my friend Tom, who's in liver failure and apparently never saw a glass of bourbon that he didn't like. And this is a I sense all the energy in this crowd today, and it's lifting me up. But this is a tough day for people who have difficulty with alcohol, and the message of drinking is all around us. And Mayor Bloomberg said that he was going to be inebriated as he, you know, I mean, it was a poor message to send. So let's try to have fun responsibly and enjoy our friends and families today.
Prayers for Tom and for those struggling with addiction issues, and just for this day, for his liver failure, yeah. Thanks. Oh, one more, John.
Yeah, Journey's Mercies for my dad. He's coming up today from Chicago, so I haven't seen him in a while, so it'd be really good to see him.
John's dad as he makes his way up today. Hi, Abigail.
Prayers of joy in our household as we're welcoming Sally and Howard Hall. Sally and Howard, will you stand? Sally and Howard were church leaders in the first church that I served 23 years ago, and I worked very closely with them on lots of things, so you can ask them about what I was like when I was Dave's age. They have lots of stories, believe me. Let us pray. O Lord, you are the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. Your steadfast love endures forever, whatever the circumstances of life. We come to you in this time of prayer with concerns spoken and unspoken in our hearts, that you might bring forth your spirit of healing, hope, and joy, and that we might see and celebrate the great gift of your presence in our lives. We pray, O Lord, for our world, torn as it is by bitterness, strife, and war, for ways to be found that bring healing, justice, and care for all your people. We pray for our schools and our efforts there to make a difference, to bring our prayers and support and encouragement for brighter days. We pray for our elected officials and those who try to make difficult and sometimes unpopular political decisions. O Lord, hear our prayer. We give thanks, O God, for the joys of our lives, for those who come to be reunited with us, for those who gather in community here, for times of play and fun responsibly, for opportunities to gather. We continue to lift in prayer Andrew in his time in France, and we send prayers for John's dad visiting in this time and his travels. For Sally and Howard in this time of reunion with their son as well. We bring to you this day those in need of healing and hope in their lives, those facing illness or grief, continuing unemployment or challenges of money, those battling for recovery. May your hope shine forth in their lives, your strength, their presence. We pray this day for Terry and Nicholas, for Jean and CJ in the loss of Tom, for the Rivera family, for Tom, for Gwen and Jim, for the Dallaire family and friends who knew him in this sudden loss, for Jessica and the one waiting Hodgkin's news, for Jim in his surgery of this week, and for Professor Khan in his surgery. We pray for Nalone's co-worker and Alexander, and for Brooks, Aunt Mary. We know, O Lord, that you hear our prayers, that you heal the brokenhearted, that you strengthen those who are weak. As we gather again this day at this table, great God, we give thanks for the variety of people you have called into this community, each with gifts to share for your glory and a spirit to work together. We pray for Judy as she continues to serve the larger church, for wisdom in decisions in the synod ahead this week. Show forth, O God, your ways to be your church that we can scarcely imagine, here and to the ends of the earth. Through and in you we pray, through the power of Christ who taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Children are dismissed to go down to their classes. And reminder that the family room is upstairs and available for any that need a little bit more running room during the worship service.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. This can be found in your pew Bibles on page 628, in the large print Bibles on 818. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even the youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our New Testament lesson comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. This can be found in your pew Bibles on page 33, in the large print Bibles on page 43. As soon as they left the synagogue, they enter the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord.
Open my eyes that I may
Good morning. In the month of January, we had a sermon series entitled Crossing the Threshold. And next month, in March, we're going to have a series called Prayers of the Bible. But this month, here in February, Pastor Chris and I didn't have any good ideas. So whenever that happens, we turn back to the lectionary. The lectionary is a series of Bible readings that runs in 3-year cycles. And so it's something that a lot of different churches use. And around the country every week, churches that read from the lectionary are reading and preaching the same scripture passages together. And that's what we're going to be doing in these 4 months of February. But unlike a sermon series where each week relates to the one that came before it and builds on what has already been said, the lectionary carries us in all kinds of different directions. It can move from Moses to Jesus, over to the Apostle Paul, and back down to the book of Psalms. Sometimes it can feel a little bit disjointed from one week to the next, as if the different parts of the story don't quite all fit together. Well, that's how I felt when reading our New Testament passage for today from the Gospel of Mark. It's a story that begins with a healing and then has Jesus out praying by himself and ends with the disciples going with Jesus into the neighboring towns. It's a story in 3 parts, and none of them seem to fit together. It makes me wonder, what do these 3 have in common? What is the golden cord that binds them all to each other? Well, the one word that I think connects these 3 parts of our story today is vocation. Vocation. There are 3 lessons in our story. All of them are about vocation, or our calling from God to live as God's people in the world. And so each part of this story tells us one of these lessons for the morning. And we're going to explore this topic together today. And as we begin, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when I first read the Gospel of Mark story for today, about how Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law, it got me thinking of an old Disney movie called Fantasia. Do you remember Fantasia? It came in 8 different parts, and each was set to a classical symphony piece. And the part that I remember best was called The Sorcerer's Apprentice, and it starred Mickey Mouse. Do you remember that one? In the movie, Mickey is hard at work as the apprentice for a powerful sorcerer. And Mickey's job is to bring buckets full of water from a well down, down, down all these stairs into a pool over where the sorcerer is working. But when his boss leaves the room to go and take a nap for a while, Mickey puts on the sorcerer's hat, and all sorts of things start to happen. He uses this new power to bring a broomstick to life, and this broomstick spouts arms, and he commands this broomstick to start doing his chores for him. And so the broomstick starts going back and forth carrying these buckets of water, which Mickey thinks is great. It's so great, in fact, that he settles down into a comfortable chair and he takes a nap. When he wakes up, Mickey discovers that this broomstick is very diligent and has been carrying water back and forth the whole time, so much that the room is starting to flood. It's filling up with water. So he tries to stop the broom from working, but he can't. It is just going back and forth, back and forth. And in a scary moment in the movie, Mickey takes an axe and he chops and chops and chops this broomstick into little bits to get it to stop working. But then, all of those little bits and pieces come to life as well, and they grow arms, and they pick up buckets, and they all start bringing this water. There's an army of broomsticks carrying water in, flooding the whole room. The situation gets totally out of hand, and Mickey nearly drowns before the sorcerer himself has to come back and save the day. So I'm thinking about this Disney movie when reading our Bible story today, because both of the stories are about someone using their powers to get someone else to work for them. Did you see that? In one case, it's Mickey Mouse, and in the other, it's Jesus. Jesus and his friends have come to Simon's mother-in-law's house, and they've been looking forward to an evening of hospitality and home cooking. Simon's been telling them about his mother-in-law, the world-famous chef, and Jesus is looking forward to that meatloaf. But when they get there, it turns out Simon's mother-in-law is sick. She's in bed with a fever. The house isn't cleaned, the table isn't set, and there's no meatloaf to be found. And so Jesus takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and her fever breaks. She's healed, and it says that she starts to serve them. But here is where the stories of Mickey and Jesus diverge sharply, because unlike Mickey, Jesus isn't using his powers just to get someone else to do something for him, as if he had healed this woman just so she would cook him dinner. There's much more going on in this story than that. The word in Greek that is used here is diakonoi, which means to serve. And this is the word from which we get the word deacon. A deacon is a leader in the church. They are servant leaders, diakonoi. So another way to read the passage about Jesus' healing of this woman is that through this healing, she is enabled to take on her vocation as a servant leader. Through Jesus' healing, she comes to begin to serve, diakonoi, as a servant leader. You'll notice that the very next thing that happens in the story is that her house becomes a center for Jesus' healing ministry. It starts that night as people bring all the sick and those who are in need to her house. The Bible says that the whole city was gathered around her door. The whole city was gathered around the door of this woman because it was in her house that Jesus was at work. Why was Simon's mother-in-law healed in this story? It was certainly not to play out a tired old gender role stereotype, but it was so that by God's blessing in her life, she could be a blessing to others. And this is the first lesson on vocation for us today, that our calling, our common Christian calling, is not to sit back in comfortable chairs or in uncomfortable pews and to say, aha, I've got mine, I've been blessed, I'm all set. But the lesson is that when Jesus comes to us, when he takes our hand, when he lifts us up, that we aren't just being healed, we are being called. We are called to give a faithful response with our lives for what Jesus has done for us. What has God done in your life, I wonder? How have you been blessed? Where have you been led or inspired, comforted or forgiven or healed? Take this lesson from an unnamed woman from 2,000 years ago, that when Jesus came into her home and into her heart and healed her, her faithful response was to join with Jesus and put her gifts into work for the sake of the kingdom. She could cook, she could keep house, she could welcome people in, and that's what she does. She starts right where she is, and she's using the gifts that God has given her. I wonder how this story helps you to think about your story. What is the giftedness that you already have that you might use to join with Jesus? How is God calling you to respond today? So back to the story. Jesus and his disciples and this woman, they're all in the house. And the Bible says it was sundown and that the house was surrounded by all of those who were sick or possessed by demons. Sounds like a scene out of a horror movie. But Jesus does his thing. He gets right to work. Although he'd been looking forward to kind of a night off and spending some time with friends, he gets to work helping and healing all of those who came to see him. And this kind of thing happens all the time for Jesus. He has a vocation for teaching and preaching and healing. And so when people find out that he's around, they flock to him. They look for him. He's a man who's in demand. He's a person who's very busy. As word spread around Galilee about what Jesus was doing, more and more people came seeking after him. He's identified because of his vocation. I heard a story recently about a woman who won a bucket full of quarters playing slot machines in Atlantic City in a casino. Have you heard this story? Apparently, after she had a big bucket full of winnings, she wanted to take a break for dinner. And so she went over to the elevators to drop them off up in her hotel room. And as she was about to get on the elevator, she noticed there were already two African-American men, on the elevator. One of them was very large and intimidating. Her first thought, honestly, was, these people could rob me. They could take my coins. Then she thought, don't be racist, don't be silly. These are a couple of nice gentlemen. Of course I'll get on the elevator. But she had these stereotypes in her mind, and she was afraid. She didn't know what to do, and finally she forced herself to step onto the elevator. She stood stiffly and hugged the bucket of quarters to her chest as the doors closed in front of her. And then a second passed, and nothing happened. The elevator didn't move, and she started panicking and thought, "I'm about to be robbed. I'm trapped." And just then, one of the men behind her said, "Hit the floor." And out of fear, she did. She threw her bucket up in the air, and she hit the floor. She jumped down. And another second passed, and the man said, "Ma'am, are you okay? When I said hit the floor, I was telling my friend here to hit the button for our floor in the hotel. I didn't mean for you to hit the floor." Well, she didn't know what to say, this woman. She was so embarrassed. And the men helped her pick up her coins, and she seemed a little unsteady on her feet, so they even walked her down the hall to her room. And as she went into her room and closed the door, she could hear them out in the hallway laughing and laughing at what had just happened. And the next morning, a bouquet of flowers was delivered to this woman's room, and in it was a dozen roses, and on each of the roses was wrapped a $100 bill. And there was a card attached to this bouquet of flowers, and it was signed Eddie Murphy and Michael Jordan. Said, "Thanks for the best laugh we've had in years." Can you imagine? She wouldn't have recognized these two famous celebrities. These guys get recognized everywhere they go. As soon as they show up, they're recognized, and it immediately becomes work for them. Eddie, say something funny. Michael, can I have your autograph? Because they're so well known, their work follows them home. This happens for us in a lesser way. This happened for Jesus. The needs that came along for Jesus kept him from getting the kind of rest that he knew he needed. Which leads us to our second point for the morning about vocation. And here it is. If we're going to maintain our energy and our vision and our strength to live as God's own people in the world, then we need to take time to rest and to be renewed by God. Mark's gospel says that in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up, went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. As a teacher and preacher and healer, Jesus had a lot of things he had to get done. And as a teacher or a doctor or a business person or an office worker or a caregiver or a student or a parent, you and I have a lot of things we've got to get done. But the lesson from Jesus is that in order to really live our vocation as God's people in all these different areas of life, we need to take a break. You need to take a break. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." If we're going to live our vocation, which is to mount up on wings like eagles in the classroom or in the clinic, with our coworkers or our children, in our homes and our neighborhoods. If we're going to live out that vocation, then we need time to rest, to be renewed, to wait for the Lord in prayer or in worship, in reading or in recreation. Lesson one is that we are blessed to be a blessing to others, and lesson two is that if we're going to take care of others, we also need to slow down sometimes to take care of ourselves in our bodies and our minds and our spirits. I wonder what it would look like for you to take some time this week, some time away, to rest and be renewed, to wait for the Lord, to renew your strength in some way. And I wonder as well if there's someone in your life you can think of, husbands and wives, I'm thinking of you here, who you can give permission to, you can let have that kind of time so that they can be renewed as well. So that's where Jesus was. He was out praying by himself, being renewed in his spirit. And the disciples come looking for him. When they find him, they say, "Jesus, everyone is looking for you. What are you doing?" And he's ready to go again. He says, "Let's keep going. Follow me. We're going to keep going into the neighboring town so I can proclaim my message there as well, because that is why I have come. And so his disciples go with him. And that is the third lesson about vocation for this morning. Our calling as disciples, and especially as a church, a group of disciples all together, is to do this exact thing, to look for Jesus and then to go where he is going. To look for Jesus and then to go where he is going. This is the exciting thing about talking about vocation, that God in Christ is doing a new thing out there in the world, and that our calling as we seek to follow Jesus, even into unexpected places and with people we wouldn't have thought of otherwise, our calling is to be like these disciples in the story. Our vocation, whether we live it out in a classroom or a boardroom or a living room, is to go with Jesus and to join in his mission and ministry in the world. So as you consider your own vocation or calling today as someone who seeks to follow Christ in your life, I hope these three lessons about vocation might be helpful for you. First, that God's work in your life, God's blessing, God's healing, is meant to spark you toward helping and healing in other people's lives. Second, in order to care for other people, you also need to care for yourself and to find time to rest with God. And then third, as a church, we are called to look where Jesus is already at work and where he's going, so that we together may boldly and faithfully follow. Amen. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, north and south, and sit down together at table in the kingdom. According to the Gospel of Luke, the risen Lord, when he was at table with his disciples, he took bread and broke it, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This table is not a Presbyterian table. It is not open only to those who are members of this particular church. It is not open only to Patriots fans this day. It's open to all who seek to follow our vocation together, to seek where Jesus is and to live with him in our lives. This table is open to you, and you are invited to it today.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of the bread and the cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of your body and the blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with all and the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen.
Amen. Hear the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." bread of life.
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the cup of salvation, poured forth in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim our Lord until he shall come again." The cup of salvation poured out for you.
Let us pray. Great and gracious God, you call us together. You invite us to feast at your table. O Lord, here in this time and place, we have met you again. We have sought your presence and found you to be here. Lord, we know that you are not only here, but you are also there, in a world that you created, redeemed, and love, in a world that you call us to enter again, having been fed for the journey, having rested with you. Send us now, O Lord, with your blessing, that we may be your people in the world, living lives of purpose, joining with you in your ministry and mission. Help us, O God, to claim our vocation again this day. All these things we pray through Christ Jesus, the Lord of the table, who has called us together. Amen.
Amen.
Come forth, it is time to give. Let us pray. Caught up in our need for self-recognition, we forget the power of recognizing you as we serve others. Forgiving Christ, open yourself to us once again, that we witness your service to the world. We might be moved to share you with others in our lives of true service. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us, and we thank you for giving us all that you have. May you continue to bless us as we give unto others. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our final hymn this morning, Sing Alleluia, be projected and led by the worship band.
Amen.
Support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all persons, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Done.